In this episode, we watched a little movie called Transcendence.
Little movie?
It was actually medium-sized.
I mean, it was pretty long.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Nailed it.
Everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Hey, Dan, great opening. I'm Stuart Wellington.
Hey, guys, you're doing a bang-up job so far. I'm Elliot, and I think we're on a super...
What?
Road.
We're on a super road.
To nowhere. Like, wait, Dan, did you say your full
called
person,
Route
your full
66
name?
By some.
I said my full name. You didn't say your full name.
No, I think you just said Stuart.
No, I said Dan McCoy. You said Stuart Wellington, okay. And you said I'm Elliot.
Oh, Kalen is the last name.
Very clearly.
Great job, Dan. I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalen.
All right.
Great job, guys.
We're a little stupider than normal.
Weirdly, we watched a movie about man increasing his intelligence through computers, and it made us dumber.
It made us way dumber.
Yep.
Like Dumb and Dumber 2.
I mean, I'm assuming that's dumber than the original. I haven't seen either of them.
Up the dumbness quotient.
Just joking. I saw the first one. That's going to be a weird hill to stand on.
So should we?
I don't know if you'd want to defend that statement that you had never seen Dumb and Dumber.
Should we start over or?
No, let's keep going.
We'll just keep going.
Look,
we can't look backwards.
We
only go forward. There's no brakes on this car.
Is a podcast where we watch a bad movie and we talk about it. And in this case, the bad movie that we watched was titled Transcendence.
And let me tell you guys, I found it transcendently stupid.
Whoa. Turn around.
Super high five.
Take
high
that,
five.
Critics.
Slap.
100 points. Super excellent. Awesome power. You have unlocked the secret of great.
It was directed by Wally Feister.
Twisted Fister.
Mm-hmm. Just like Wally sounds dirty to certain people.
It's someone who sticks their fist into the butt of the cute robot from the Pixar movie Wally.
Right.
Wally Fister.
And it's...
Wait a minute. I thought he has like a front butt, right? Because he squirts out little trash cubes.
Yeah. You stuck your fist in his front.
And it's spelled with a PF, so it looks like Pfizer, but it's Fister.
I mean, if you only read the first three letters of the name, it looks like Pfizer. But once you hit the S, that's not a Z.
Then you're like, whoa.
Hold on a second. This is a different word.
Hold on.
I'll keep
what am
reading.
I doing? Am I watching a movie? I don't know what's happening.
Let's see how this turns out.
I like the idea that you read every word slowly, letter by letter.
Yeah, and I always try to predict what's going to happen.
Just pick up a book here.
Sometimes I'm confirmed. Sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised.
C-A-C-A. So it's probably something about cars. No, an L. Then another L. Call. Interesting. A callow gentleman. Oh, nope. Space. The word is ended. Call is the first word. Okay. M. Call mother. I think that's what. No, an E. Okay. And another space. Call me. Great. This book is really revving it up.
I mean.
I can't wait to finish reading. What is this? M-O. Modus operandi? Nope, a B, something about the mob. Wait, a Y. Moby, the musician, I assume. A space, yes, that fits that theory. Nope, a D, hold on. Moby died.
Where's this going?
Because there's a D-I. Oh, nope, a C. Moby, space, D-I-C. I assume it's about Deke, the old animation studio that made kids cartoon. Nope, a K. And, okay, is it about someone named Dickerman? No. Okay, another space. Moby Dick, it's called. Well, on to the next word. B, okay, could be anything. Y, okay, bye. And after that is some more letters.
I mean, the funny thing about that is, like, I don't think that's entirely inaccurate about the way that people, like, that reading works. It just happens at such a
fast... It happens so much faster than you did it with Wally Pfister's name.
I mean, I just...
Okay, I mean, it starts with a P, okay. Wait, an F, that's the next letter.
That was all I was saying.
So Wally Pfister is best known as a cinematographer.
Yeah,
for Christopher Nolan.
He worked on many other movies, too, but he's best known for his movies for... Christopher Nolan. director of the Bratman films.
Yeah, the appearance of Mogron Freeman.
Mogron
Freeman. And of course, and
he made that movie Interception.
Yeah, Killian
Murphy. He made Inscription. He made the
Prestigious.
Prestigious. I don't know if he worked on Momentum or The Frolicking.
Insomniac.
Insomniac. Yeah, that David Tell movie.
Interstellar Nerds. But he's a big shot director in Hollywood.
The Dark Knight Pfizers. That's the one where Batman has an erection that lasts more than 4 hours, and he beats a villain to death with it.
Wow, that version of Batman not only is way more pornographic, but also kills people.
Yep, he's different. Look, it's not the
he's different.
It's not the boner Gotham wants, but it's the boner Gotham deserves. So Wally Pfister is a cinematographer, and does he have good storytelling skills in this movie? Or is it the script's problem?
Well, that's a question.
This is a blacklist script, Elliot.
That's a question for the ages.
Yeah, James Spader wrote
it. Whose fault was this movie? Was it Wally Pfister or was it the screenwriter?
Because it's not a good movie.
No, it's not a good movie.
And it is anchored by one of maybe the laziest Johnny Depp performance I've ever seen, where it's like he is channeling Marlon Brando at his worst. Like, it's Johnny Depp always wanted to be Marlon Brando. Here he is. Lazy, fat, Apocalypse Now Marlon Brando, where he didn't show up having read the lines or even gotten into shape, and he's just kind of mumbling in a dark room while a light plays on him.
He probably is wearing sweatpants most of this movie.
Yeah, and he's either wearing sweatpants or he's just standing looking into a camera.
Or some kind of like the kind of pants that like a genie would wear.
He spends a lot of the movie in bed.
But also,
he's got an accent in the movie that is totally unplaceable.
Yeah, it might be British. It might be just mumbles. We don't know. But the thing is about this movie, Johnny Depp is playing a quote-unquote normal character. And for Johnny Depp, normal character means guy who was uploaded into a computer and is a computer guy. But that even being the case.
Yeah, average Joe.
Like, he seems average so 8.0. Uninterested in it. Like, Johnny Depp would rather be playing, you know, the fucking Mad Hatter with a Scottish accent.
Look,
for some reason.
Look, if he doesn't have a crazy voice and like a shitload of pancake makeup on his face.
He doesn't give a shit about what he's doing.
He doesn't even get out of bed unless there's a prosthetic nose attached.
I almost didn't recognize it was Johnny Depp because he's not wearing like
Mordecai mustache.
Yeah, he's not wearing like a three-tiered hat in this movie.
Like a bright yellow waistcoat.
Yeah, you're like, there are no scarves to be seen on this man.
Exactly.
But yeah, this is a science fiction movie.
That explains the lack of scarves.
Because scarves don't exist in the science fiction universe.
Don't need them.
This is a movie that's based in science, but it's fiction.
Now, what is science fiction? Yeah, is it?
It is.
I'm not familiar with the term.
It is speculative. It is speculative.
It's got a speculum in it. Okay.
How science could be applied to the fictional worlds.
So this movie begins in like.
I don't think that's.
This movie begins on like Cybertron or something, and the Transformers are fighting the
Megabots. Yeah, the Megazords.
The Megabots.
Which are just big bots.
Yeah.
They're bigger than average
bots. And the average bots are another race.
More bots than meets the eye.
The more bots are the really morbid robots.
In the new movie, Transformers 5, lots of bots.
So many bots.
Too many bots.
Bots of plenty, it's called.
Bots of poppin'. Transformers 6, bots of poppin'. Olsen and Botson.
Hands on hot bots.
So let's talk about this movie. Match Bots 20. Let's talk about this movie. So it starts off in a world strangely like our own, except computers are used as like doorstops, and electricity seems to have fled the Earth. We're in Berkeley, California. That's right. The Berkeley, California.
That's
home
Silicon
of
Valley.
Not really.
You're wrong in multiple ways.
Silicon Valley. No, I just meant Berkeley is home of the silicon. It's a new kind of ice cream cone made out of gummy. Very hard to hold.
Yeah.
Very sticky. So all the electricity has disappeared, and that means cue Paul Bettany to walk in and give us a little voiceover narration that – electricity is available in some cities, they think, but none here. And it's all because of the work of his old pal, Jonathan Depp. let's flash back 5 years earlier.
Okay.
Johnson Depson is a computer scientist. He's kind of
totally
like
normal human.
Yeah.
Totally normal mumbly Joe guy with a mustache and glasses and just walking around.
With a real plain Jane wife?
And who partner? plays this wife?
Rebecca Hall, who, as Elliot pointed out, is often postulated in movies as an ordinary lady.
Like, she's like a sensible alternative.
Like in Vicky Cristina Barcelona, she is the like friend who's not as sexy in the movie as ScarJo.
Yeah.
ScarJo.
In Please Give, she is Amanda Peet's like dowdy sister. Yeah. She is a beautiful woman.
All of this ignores the fact that she is a ridiculously gorgeous human.
She just needs to work on her posture, you know.
She does have bad posture. But it is
Put a book on her head or something.
A zookeeper level of in other movies, not in this one, but in other movies, a zookeeper level of pretending a beautiful woman is not noticeable. Like how it takes Kevin James half the movie to realize Rosario Dawson is gorgeous. Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Maybe he's too busy.
Human miracle,
with
Rosario Dawson.
The human miracle is that they've been able to keep an economy sustained for 60 years with our embargo.
Yeah. Wait, who?
or 50 years,
The Flophouse has an embargo on Cuba.
Yeah.
Oh.
They can't listen to us there.
Yep.
Until they give us more of their delicious
Cuba
sandwiches.
Represented by Rosario Dawson.
Is she Cuban?
I don't know. That's what's confusing me.
I don't know why.
You called her the Cuban miracle.
No,
it's your fault.
I said human miracle.
Oh, okay. We both heard Cuban.
And I'm
the Cuban miracle is the Cuban
sandwich. At first
sandwich,
I was like,
which
she's
is one
not,
of the top sandwiches.
She's not
one
related
of,
to Mark Cuban, one of the different, one of the sharks from the Shark Tank.
Dan, the Cuban sandwich is the top sandwich.
Reuben sandwich.
The Reuben is a shit sandwich.
What?
No
My
good.
My friend, you are wrong.
No good. Kill the podcast. We're not talking about movies anymore. We're talking about sandwiches. Now, wrong Dan.
As a human and as a Jewish man.
As a Cuban?
You should understand the charms of a nice smoked meat sandwich on rye.
I love smoked meat sandwich
Sauerkraut.
On rye.
Sauerkraut.
Don't prefer the Reuben.
You got some cheese melted on there.
I don't
some like what,
that.
Thousand Island or something? What do you put on that shit?
Yeah, you got Thousand Island dressing.
Okay.
So it's the
enlivens any sandwich, my friend.
Hey, if your sandwich is feeling a little down in the dumps, throw some Thousand Island on there.
Yeah.
Eat the secret ingredient. Every drop has 1,000 islands in it.
Okay.
Islands are running out across the globe.
It is the most expensive sauce there is. Because
it'll,
there are
1,000
islands.
It's a dressing. It's a dressing, which is different
sauce.
Than a sauce.
It's not one of the original sauces created by some French saucier.
You're saying it's not a bechamel?
Yes, it's not that.
It's not a,
what's that, cheese? Cheese sauce? I don't know what that means.
It's like milk and... And,
honey.
And butter and
I was right.
And flour.
So we begin
podcast
in,
about?
It's a cooking podcast.
So 5 years earlier, Johnny Depp is a scientist. He's married to Rebecca Hall. He's interested in creating a sentient AI that will have a soul and answer all of life's questions. And she's interested in how to use technology to clean up the earth and make it better. Mm-hmm. A disturbed Lucas Haas.
Opposites attract situation.
Yeah, she's the Paul Abdul to his MC Scat, to his Dr. Professor Scat Cat.
Yep.
A disturbed Lucas Haas in the audience demands
to
know.
I mean, that's good casting.
But
I think this is one of the first chances that we see that that Wally Pfister is really pulling on his Nolan cred. To get Lucas Haas in there, then he gets Morgan Freeman.
What was Lucas Haas in?
He was in Inception and some other
was?
Shit. Yeah,
what
yeah,
was
yeah
he
he's the guy in the beginning who gets taken away by Ken Watanabe's goons.
Oh yeah, I think I remember. I haven't seen it in that movie since it came out.
Okay, but we see a cast of actors.
It's got Leonardo da Vinci DiCaprio in it, right?
Yeah.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio and Leonardo da Vinci in one person.
No, but in this movie, so it's got Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. And, yeah, Morgana the Kissing Bandit Freeman. And Lucas Haas accuses him of wanting to create a god. And then later in a hallway, shoots him with a bullet. Meanwhile, at the same time,
I like the way you said
instead of
like,
with a camera,
is it like a special bullet? Like it was.
Well,
it
does turn out to be a special.
It
bullet.
It was a bullet what coated with Johnny Depp killing poison.
It turns out that it was.
Is it one of those cartoon bullets from movie Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, and it zooms by the camera and goes, "Yeah." as it's going.
Like R2-D2?
It's a little R2-D2 that he shoves in a gun. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Boop, boop, boop. Wow. Yeah, I know, R2. I'm going to shoot you at that guy. So at the same time, terrorists blow up a bunch of computer labs. It turns out they're part of something called Rift, which is like repulse invading for technology or something like that.
Sure. Yeah,
rejections who inferior cares? Fucking technology. Yeah. Anyway, they're anti-AI zealots. And it turns out the bullet they shot Johnny Depp with was coated in polonium. So he starts dying of radiation poisoning. He was working on a big supercomputer called PIN that can talk in a kind of a Sigourney Weaverish voice that I think was Sigourney Weaver.
Polonium's named after Bill Pullman, right?
No.
No, and that doesn't make
two
any
things
sense.
Don't sound like. Yeah, but so Rebecca Hall's like, how do I fix this? Oh, I know. I'll upload my husband into a computer.
Yeah.
Her husband?
I can't save his body.
I don't know.
So I'll save his brain.
We missed some of the early parts of this movie where they explain relationships.
No, they're married.
Okay. They're not in some kind of weird polygamous relationship with Paul Bettany.
No, Paul Bettany is just the hanger-on third wheel friend.
But what about Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman is an old man who should not be in this movie. He has literally no character role in this that makes any sense or is necessary.
Okay. Who's
except
Killian
to stand
Murphy?
Around. Killian Murphy is a government representative. He works for the FBI or something.
Okay.
And for some reason, the government really wants to see this artificial intelligence technology continue. And then they don't at the end later.
Mm-hmm.
But Morgan Freeman is around mainly to just talk to people and witness things. It almost feels like he just showed up on set one day and was like, well, I'm in the movie. Get me my costume. Write me a part. And they're like,
whatever you're wearing is fine.
Morgan Freeman didn't take his medication. Just play along with his psychosis. He thinks he's in the movie.
He's having some sort of Las Vegas. Let's get him in here.
That's how he probably ended up in Las Vegas, too. Yeah.
It was
in my bucket list to be in a movie about transcending.
What character is this voice coming from?
It doesn't sound like Morgan Freeman, that's for sure. All my voices eventually become Sean Connery anyway. So they upload his brain to a computer. At first, they don't think it worked, and then it does, and he's like, hey. And there's this kind of primitive.
He's like, hey. Sup.
Hey, girl.
You just, up?
Just because I'm a computer doesn't mean I don't appreciate you for who you are.
He's like, hey, bae.
Hey, bae. Hey, boo.
We could be all like this.
But you playing. Yep.
Yep.
Playing video games on my computer. Stop it so I can talk to you.
Sure. Stop grabbing my joystick.
He instantly is like, hey, Evelyn, Rebecca Hall's character. Plug me into the internet so I can talk to every computer that has money or power. And she's like,
oh, okay.
You got
that
it.
Makes perfect sense.
I'm just a girl. And Paul Bettany's like, don't do that. That sounds evil. And she says, get out, and does it anyway.
Yeah.
Because
of love.
Johnny Depp gives her $90 billion,
mm-hmm.
and in the computer world. And she goes on the run while these anti-technology terrorists kidnap Paul Bettany and beat him up a lot. And ask him to help them stop the computers. Meanwhile, Rebecca Hall and Johnny Depp, computer face.
Basically, like, buy a town out in the desert.
Yeah, they buy a town just like Kim Basinger did that one time. And they turn it into a technological experimental utopia where people who get injured or were born with defects are fixed through nanobots. Because mm-hmm. Johnny Depp being a computer has accelerated the development of technology by 1,000,000%. And now there's nanobots flying around fixing people's eyes and shit and making people super strong so they can lift
up
pipes.
The ground.
Yeah, there's just tendrils of nanobots floating around. The government, they don't like
Yeah.
They're afraid. And so they, like, team up with the terrorists or are just kind of using the terrorists as a front to attack the town.
Unclear.
It gets really boring. It gets too boring to pay attention to until eventually Paul Bettany's thrown in with the anti-technology guys. The government wants to throw out Johnny Depp from the earth and
just scoop him up and
shoot him into the sun.
Space.
Well, it's as
put
good
him in the Phantom
it's
Zone.
As good a solution as they come up with.
Isn't that what happens to the nanobot guy and like Tom Strong
and Tom
or something?
Strong, he sends it to another planet. The modular man goes to another planet that he can take over for himself.
Oh, the modular man. He could be a desk. He could be an end table.
Yeah.
You know, he could put plants on him.
He can fit whatever your lifestyle demands.
Yeah, I love that guy. Very useful. But what
better than the mod jeweler man who just makes kind of like British swinging 60s themed jewelry?
But the mint julep man, though, I like that guy.
The mint julep man is less of a villain and more of a food service industry mainstay.
Yep. Yeah, he just shows up with a nice julep when you're
wait, he just shows up? He doesn't have like a cart or anything?
No, he just appears.
Yeah, he just appears out of a fucking puff of smoke.
He has a magic mint mirror.
You say he doesn't have a card or he doesn't have a cart?
I said a cart.
No, he lives in...
No, you fucking turn the lights off, look in the mirror and say, I want a mint julep, please. And he squirts out of the faucet.
He shows up with his handlebar mustache and those garters around his arms that they wear, you know, those straps. He lives inside of some woman's derby.
Lives
hat.
In the hearts of Louisvillian teenagers everywhere.
He lives in a pewter cup.
And if you find it, he owes you two wishes. One of them has to be for mint juleps, though.
Yeah, you're contractually
and the other one
obligated.
Has to be for a mint julep accessory of some kind.
Yeah, extra mint or something.
Shaved ice.
The trick is more mint. Wishes count as a mint julep accessory. But you can't wish to know the winner of the next Kentucky Derby. That's against his rules.
No, unless the winner's name is Mint Julep.
Okay.
But then you'll never know if he's saying the name of a horse or just the name of the delicious drink
that, would
that
be,
he specializes
in. That would be a super
in.
Patronizing name to name your horse. I name it Derby Winner.
The name of my horse is Best Horse.
Runs the fastest. Yeah, so I don't know what happens.
So they go to the town
or something.
Let me explain. Okay,
the town turns into a forest of solar cells.
Let's give Transcendence the minimal respect it doesn't deserve. So yeah, it's this. They just build solar cells all over the place to power their computer place, and it turns out Johnny Depp is not just healing people's bodies with his nanobots. He is getting into their brains, and he can control them from afar. From Jafar, even the villain from Aladdin. And how much better would the movie have been if Johnny Depp was playing Jafar from Aladdin, and you had like a nanobot Gilbert Gottfried Iago parrot flying around?
I mean, it'd be pretty confusing, but I guess I would like.
And it would be a musical. Let's not forget that.
Confusical.
The most confusing musical ever made. Wait, those
I think I saw that in
brother
a review
and sister
of
before.
Musical.
Why are they married now? Hold on a second. Is this happening in the song world or is it happening in the real world? Dreams within dreams in Confusical. Characters that changed names mid-scene.
Julie Taymor is amazing still.
Are they singing about their emotions or are they singing about the way they feel about their emotions?
Hold on a second.
Did I even buy a ticket? What am I doing here?
Am I in bed?
The last two songs were just E. Zimbra-style nonsense poetry. I don't know what's going on in this movie.
The letter said I had to come here to pick up my hot dog.
Of course, I couldn't let a clue like that go to waste. Time for another adventure.
Confusical by Julie Taymor and Salvador Dali.
It's Salvador Dali. That the second hour of the movie is just Salvador Dali going, "You're confused, right? You're so confused. This is confusing.
Be honest. Have you ever seen such a confusing musical?"
And don't lie. I know you're going to say, I know he's Italian. Salvador Dalino.
That's part of what's so confusing about it.
Now, you know I'm a Spanish, but I talk a weird Italian accent.
It's-a me, a Salvador Dali.
I'm so confusing. It's-a me, Salvador. It's in Super Dalio Brothers. Yeah. Where his brother Salvador Dalio and his brother Luigi Dalio have to save the princess who actually is a lobster telephone.
I mean, I don't know that you can actually like surreal up Super Mario Brothers further from where it is at.
Sure, just make everybody ants wearing cakes on their head or something.
A bunch of mushrooms and turtles kidnap a princess for reasons unknown.
Why wouldn't you kidnap
a plumber has to fix it all. Through his jumping and pipe
and
going
if he hits a
skills.
Box with his head, there's some money comes out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes he turns into a weird furry character who can fly.
I mean, that wasn't until the third part, but sure.
Are you saying it's non-canon at this point?
There's only one non-canon game, and that's Super Mario Brothers 2, or as it's also known,
Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah, I guess that is. I was going to say a joke name, but that's the real
no,
name.
No, that's the actual one. So that's
so
our
so here's
Super
the,
Mario cast.
So Rebecca Hall.
There's probably like five of those out there.
So Rebecca Hall becomes afraid of Johnny Depp because he's become too powerful and too inhuman. and he started growing his own body parts.
Which is weird, because he's not the most human dude on the planet.
To begin with, yeah.
Her type is clearly weird computer guys.
Around the time that he uses his powers to control another man's brain so that he can come onto her, and she's creeped out by that, mm-hmm. she starts thinking twice. So she leaves.
And he didn't even pick like a hunky dude or a dude that she was interested in.
No, he wasn't a terrible looking guy.
I'm not saying he's gross, but you described him as a like Tommy Wiseau before he turns into a vampire.
If we could see what Tommy Wiseau looked like before Count Orloff bit him.
Spot on fucking Angel or something.
Before Count Yorga had his way with Tommy Wiseau, he looked like this guy. Not so bad. So anyway, that she shows up with Paul Bettany and the anti-technology people. They've come up with some kind of virus. She has some – they've whatever. They somehow get a sample of the nanobots. They build a virus that when uploaded into Johnny Depp will destroy all technology and thus stop him. And she says, put it in me. I'll go in there. He'll try to upload my consciousness and it'll kill me, but it'll
get
into him. She's
like, put it in me. I haven't been with a man and – mm-hmm. Months, I'm assuming.
In years, yeah. I'm married to a fucking computer screen. And you thought your family was weird.
So I guess in the scenario, the virus, like, is a good thing that turns her on?
Yeah.
Gets put in
her? Yeah, why not?
Okay, all right.
Well, she's got this weird kind of David Cronenbergian fetish for the dissolution of the body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like it turns
it's a real existence situation.
Whereas most of us are turned on by, like, a healthy human figure. Mm-hmm. She's turned on by decay or maybe even
entropy.
Deformity. Yeah. Sure. Because it kind of reminds her about the thin line between life and death, and that excites her.
And the difference between humanity and cold, unthinking synthetics.
Exactly. It makes her realize what's special about us and therefore what is to be desired.
We're working on some slash fic, by the way.
Some transcendence
between that character and Optimus Prime.
We were working on a movie that hopefully we could imagine H.R. Geiger and the director of Tetsuo the Iron Man could collaborate on. So she gets this virus put in her, but it's like the military is like, hey, you know what? Let's hedge our bets and just shoot a bunch of mortars at them also.
Yeah.
And try to blow up his solar panel farm.
Yeah, so she gets real shot up.
Johnny Depp.
At this point, he's totally created a body for himself, including a handsome waistcoat.
A very lovely tailored outfit. As you mentioned, he looks like he walked right out of There Will Be Blood, you know?
There might be blood or there's going to be blood.
There's a 50% chance of blood. Cloudy with a chance
of blood.
With a chance of blood balls. So he meets her in his new Johnny Depp body. She gets all blown to pieces. He takes her to his lair, his computer lair, to fix her. But he knew the whole time that she had this virus inside
her.
His nanobots picked up on the plan, and so he makes the conscious choice to upload herself into him to get the virus. And in an instant, he accomplishes her dream of cleaning up all the world's oceans and lakes and trees. And then all electricity and technology is destroyed.
How great would it have been if, like, a tiny little nanobot would have jumped up on his shoulder and went like, bow, 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 and he would have been like, wait a minute, they're trying to kill me with a virus? And then, like, another nanobot jumps up on his other shoulder and starts. Like,
you guys can never get along. You're just a couple of rascals and jokers. And so we see at the end, Paul Bettany goes back to their old house, to the garden that we didn't talk about with the sunflowers that we didn't bother to mention, and finds that there is a wire framework around, which was some kind of Faraday cage or something to block out electromagnetic pulses. He notices there are some sunflowers growing there and water's dripping from them, and there are nanobots in the water. He set up a place where his computer self could survive, forever entwined with the computer personality of his beloved Rebecca Hall. So I guess it's kind of a happy ending.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about anything that happens in this movie. It's one of the problems.
Well, maybe that's the signal that it's good art.
I mean, mm-hmm. I think that the movie is I think the movie is trying to do that, where you're not supposed to believe, like, you're like supposed to wonder what Johnny Depp's motivations are through the whole movie and whether he really is Johnny Depp.
I mean, they did that so well that you're wondering what he's saying half the movie because he doesn't talk clearly.
Yeah, but it's not a compelling. You know, confusion, it's just confusion. And then at the end, you're like, okay, well, a bunch of stuff happened, and I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about it. So, great. Thanks, Transcendence.
A lot like life.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the main problem for me is not that it's confusing or I don't care about the characters, but that it was just the cardinal sin of being very dull a lot of the time.
Well, but part of that is not caring about the characters. Part of that is they introduce, like, there's like 8 major characters in this movie, and none of them do you have any sense of, like, who they really are.
Yeah.
The point that we were literally like, okay, so, like, Cillian Murphy and Morgan Freeman are just standing around. They're good actors.
They don't even take their fucking sunglasses off.
The best part for them, yeah, they're standing on a roof of a building.
Like a cloudy day, and they will insist on wearing their sunglasses while looking through their fucking binoculars.
When they're looking through by binoculars.
Binox, yep.
They still have their sunglasses on. They're like,
Binox.
Wow, it's really nighttime over there. It looks really dark where we're looking.
Well, one of the problems with the movie is that, like, a lot of times high-minded science stuff doesn't translate very well to movies. Like, the movie opens with Johnny Depp's character giving, I don't know, like a TED Talk or something, and it just sounds so, like, cliched. Yeah, and,
like a TED Talk.
Yeah. I mean,
they got to dumb those things way down.
You made some powerful, boring enemies. Did you guys ever read? There was a New Yorker article a while back about this guy planning to do a TED Talk.
Oh yeah, where he was like, I gotta have the wow factor. So his wow factor was he just brought a cow on stage.
No, it's the same wow factor that you would get at like a 4-H competition.
Well,
like
the difference is you expect to see a cow at a 4-H competition.
Oh my god, a cow on a stage! I've never seen such a thing.
You're brilliant. Let me give you millions of dollars.
Cows are usually in fields.
A cow on stage, it must be a great opera singer. Strike up the band. Do 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 do.
That's an opera.
Yeah, sure, dude. Actually, the cow does have a very good voice, right, Cal?
Well, yeah, it would be amazing.
I should have picked it.
If it was a TED Talk about an opera singing cow.
I mean, but that's not much of a TED Talk. That's like the King Kong show, where it's like we're going to a Broadway theater, and then we just look at a gorilla strapped to a metal frame for like an hour.
That gorilla didn't sing. It just strained against its restraints. If Carl Denham had taught King Kong to sing opera, now that's a show.
Now that's a show. A show fit for a me, Salvador Dali, in Confusical.
Yeah. All right. Well,
hey, Kate Mara's in this, guys.
Yeah.
As a character that doesn't really do anything and doesn't really have a point to be there.
She's running that anti-technology terror
group.
That
group doesn't really do anything other than injure him in the first place.
She's
yeah.
like, my sister Rooney Mara was the girl with the dragon tattoo. Maybe this is the way that I will again overcome as the top Mara.
Yeah, Andy Rooney Mara.
Top Mara.
Why does it have to be a dragon tattoo? What if it was a dragon with a girl tattoo? I've got a tattoo of a girl on my arm that I got during the war. It's not a girl that I know. Just kind of an idealized hula girl. I've never seen anyone actually hula, but on my tattoo it looks pretty good. That's Andy Rooney Mara.
Yeah.
Sailor Jerry.
So you liked the movie?
No, let's move to Final Judgments, where we talk about whether it was a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, or a movie we actually kind of like.
Do you like it when all the nanobots were flying around and making people
I
super strong?
I liked none of this movie.
I wish that had been... I didn't like the cubes flying around in Transformers, but I liked that more than the kind of wispy nanobots here.
Now, you had a good point when we were watching the movie that
Thank
it might have
you.
Been more interesting if the movie just started with, like, people living in this weird in this little town, and all of a sudden,
I think if we had been dropped into this situation where
there's
a town in the middle of nowhere where this weird kind of super high tech lab that nobody knows much about is being set up, and it seems
maybe employing some local people,
and it comes out that it's being run by this famous computer scientist who hasn't been seen in a long time, but like I guess he's been working on this project or something. And then we eventually find out that he has since died and uploaded his personality into a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer is now running in a direction that his work logically goes into, but which is divested of emotion.
And maybe one of our main characters gets like recruited by this anti-technology terrorist group or something.
Yeah, or they're working there and they get recruited. And at first it seems crazy, but then maybe not. Like if this movie had more... of an element of like surprise to it, or more of it. Like, I recently finally got to see Edge of Tomorrow, which was a really fun, enjoyable movie. But like, if that movie didn't have any sort of like mystery at the beginning, it would have lost a lot. If it was just like, you knew right from the top everything that was going on, you know? And it's not like it was a mystery that was impenetrable, you know? It's just enough to get to intrigue you. Like, this needed that, you know? Seeing, I think they thought the mystery of how did the world lose its machines would keep you going, but it's not.
The trailer tells you exactly what's going to happen. Johnny Depp's going to become fucking Max Headroom and fuck everybody over.
Headroom. Max Headroom-ney.
The top Rom.
So it's like, I wish that it... That the main character was not the scientist, that the main character was someone encountering these people, and that it started you within this weird situation rather than telling you everything that led up to it. Yeah. It's like similar to my problem with The Imitation Game, where you're told
too much imitation,
not enough game. This where it's like, we're investigating this guy who had a break in at his house, but he doesn't want to report it. Let's find out who this weird guy is. Flashback his entire life up to the point where the police get interested. So by the time you see the police interrogating him, you're like, what the fuck do I give a shit when the police find out? Like, I already know everything.
Why is this guy hassling him? He just fucked a pig on TV.
Speaking of which, I think you're confusing two different characters for two different things.
I didn't realize until you said that was the same guy.
It's the same guy. Yeah, the policeman is the prime minister who has sex with that pig.
PM pig fucker.
From Black Myror.
By the way, this movie was like just a really long, not good, like this would be the worst episode of Black Mirror.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And this, but it's also one of those movies that is science fiction that is deeply anti-science at its heart.
Yeah.
That's like, this is all about the power of computers. What could possibly happen? They're evil. Don't do it. You know?
Well, yeah. That's what people have said about Black Mirror. What's great about it is not that the technology is like totally out of control. It's that it's working fine and it's just how it impacts humans.
Yeah.
So that's three bad bads is how I'm
going to invent a new rating. Bland bad.
Yeah, this is,
if this had
one
been called Lawnmower
boring.
Man 2, Lawnmower Man, All the Lawns in the Universe, I might have thought it was okay.
Well, there was a Lawnmower Man 2. But
what was it called?
Cyber Buddies. I don't know.
Flowers for a Cybernaut.
Lawnmower Man 2, Robot in the Family.
Oh, man, Robot in the Family. There's a stupid movie. Lawnmower Man 2, Mowing It.
Lawnmower man just needs to get laid.
He goes down to Cyber Tijuana to lose it to Shelley Long.
I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host a comedy podcast about parenting where we remind you that despite what the internet says,
no one really cares what kind of parent you are.
One bad mother. We're the friends with kids you want to hang out with.
Check us out on iTunes and MaximumFun.org.
Before we move on, we do have a...
computer show along.
We do have a sponsor tonight. I'd like to just say that the Flophouse is brought to you in part by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform that makes building your own website simple and easy. If you want to build a website, and you do, because who doesn't want a website?
Look,
make it simple and easy.
As Transcendence shows us, computers are the future. We're all going to be living in cyberspace eventually, bopping around with bits and bytes, downloading things into our wet brains.
Playing.
You know, living in a Dyson sphere or some shit. Economy 2.0. Anyway, the point is Squarespace will help you take that next step into the 21st, 22nd, and so forth centuries.
Yeah, that's right.
In a way, even us meat puppet organics can understand.
Mm-hmm. Squarespace
flesh bags.
Squarespace has beautiful templates. Well,
the call from MaxFun that's like, can you not use the word flesh bags in your spots anymore? But anyway, it has beautiful templates.
Yeah, it has integration with Google Apps and Getty Images, so you can get your stock images if you like.
You need a picture of Estelle Getty. Squarespace is there.
Responsive design that maps to whatever you're looking at this on, like a phone, an iPad, or your good old-fashioned laptop.
That is not to be underestimated. That is a very important thing.
For a free trial and 10% off your first order, go to squarespace.com and enter the code FLOP. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. And While we're at it, I would ask that listeners mark your calendars for the 2015 Max Fun Drive.
Max Fun Drive?
Yeah, the last...
You mean Maxim Fun Overdrive.
The last 2 weeks of March are the best time of the year to support your favorite podcast, because beginning...
Which is this one.
On March 16th, we'll be pulling out all the stops, producing some of the best shows of the year on Maximum Fun, with great guests, great topics, offering exclusive thank you
Wait,
gifts.
We're going to have a great guest?
I was trying to keep that secret. But we have,
okay, well, we have a great guest.
We don't have to say guest. The name of the guest just yet, but we have a great guest coming up.
Offering exclusive thank you gifts to entice you to become a new, or if you're already a member, an upgrading member of MaximumFun.org.
Now, how does this, is a pledge drive?
This is a pledge drive. Now, you might... know the pledge drives from your NPR listenings.
Or your PBS watchings.
But this is better than those because, I don't know, Max Fun's cooler?
Yeah, Max Fun's hipper and cooler. It's got better stuff. It's Maximum Fun for maximum you.
And there's a lot of great podcasts to support over on Maximum Fun.
Sure.
Us.
Yeah, us there and lots, others.
Lots of
no,
ones.
You got
Judge John Hodgman,
George Jesse Go.
You got
Bullseye, my brother, and me.
Bullseye, yeah.
Adventure Zone.
Mm-hmm.
You got Wham Bam Pow. Lady
you got Sawbones.
A lot of stuff. Pop Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. Go over to MaximumFun.org.
Bunker Buddies,
and take a look. But the Max Fun Drive starts on March 16th and runs for 2 weeks. It's the most exciting time of the year here at Maximum Fun.
You said that in a very Nicolas Cage way.
So don't miss it.
It's the most exciting time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. That got creepier.
And spiked the football.
So Max Fun Pledge Drive, March 16th to the end of March. Listen, donate, pledge, quadge, and pludge. Won't you? For Maximum Fun. For me... And you.
Gross. So, moving on.
What's the next part of this show?
The next part is where we read letters from listeners who
letters
have written
from
in.
Listeners.
Wait, hold on.
keep going. I love it. I love
letters
the sound.
Letters from listeners. Letters from listeners. Letters from listeners.
I feel like you're just saying
the same little pitchy dog. You got your letters here. You got your letters there. Hand them in, hand them in, we'll read them. Where at the Flophouse mailbag? It's the Flophouse mailbag. Put your Flophouse letters in the Flophouse mailbox. Flophouse Postal Service takes it straight to us for the in the Flophouse mailbag. It's a bag of mail for the Flophouse with Dan and Stu and me and you. Flophouse mailbag.
So
don't get sad, it's the Flophouse mailbag for me and you, for he and who, for she and the, for Stuart. You know what?
For God's sake.
You know what? Forget it. Song is over. Bring out that opera singing cow. Maybe they're used to performing in a barnyard, but I am not.
I got him to stop singing, Dan.
By any means necessary.
So the first letter.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
The first letter is from Cat Last Name with Hells. And I would say that this letter is content light, but very charming.
<I'm just laughs> wow.
Saying this
that is the meanest compliment.
Critique. No, it's. No, you'll see. It's a delight.
Cat Dennings, I apologize.
It is
dancing.
A delight. From Cat, she writes, "Hi, Flophouse friends. I'm very drunk. I think you're great. One, Dan's the best, and I've torn my ACL before, so I empathize with him. Two, Elliot is so clever and funny. Three, Stuart is good, too. I'm a lesbian, but I still think he's hot. I train horses for a living, so I have a lot of free time to listen to podcast one.
I don't know why that... I don't understand how that tracks. I would assume training horses takes a lot of time.
I have a lot of free time to listen to podcast while I'm at the barn, so I'm pretty much a podcast connoisseur. A podosseur, if you will. But yours is the best. Like, better than cereal, even. Sorry, NPR. Thanks for making me laugh at work in between screaming at idiot horses. You guys are real human beings and real heroes. I love you. Cat Last Name with
Thanks,
Hells.
Cat. That was very sweet. Dan, I like that you read that in a way that a drunk person would.
Yeah, well, it's not a stretch.
And I agree we're better than cereal, and I'll tell you why.
I agree. Those horses are dumb.
Number the first. If horses weren't so stupid, where are their hams? Why didn't they think of hands?
If wishes were horses, everyone
we'd be
everyone
riding them to heaven.
Yep.
Number the two. Why horses are dumb. Have you ever heard a horse talk? Once.
Well, yeah.
Well, twice if you count hot to trot. Okay, three times racing stripes. Okay, four times. Francis so, the Talking Mule.
The first one was Mr. Ed.
Of course.
Okay.
And the most recent was our recent Flophouse collaborator, Seabiscuit.
That's me, Seabiscuit. The most popular horse in the world.
Hey, Seabiscuit, thanks for showing up, buddy.
Gotta go.
Where are you racing off to, Seabiscuit?
I always gotta go somewhere. Got a lot of appearances because I'm the most popular horse. Seabiscuit out.
Oh, wow, he's got a new catchphrase, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to ask him about that next time.
So anyway.
Next time we Candyman him into existence.
This next letter, I got to say, this next letter may be my favorite letter we've ever gotten. I don't want to oversell it. But
well, you just did.
Searching it up.
If it, you're better than Mads Mikkelsen likes you guys, because that was pretty great.
This is from Matt, last name withheld.
Is there a picture of Krang from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles peeing on somebody?
It's titled, "Thanks a Lot, My Students Think I Am a Weirdo." And it goes like this. I am a teacher at a private girls' school in Australia.
Uh-oh. You may have written into the wrong forum.
Recently, we had to take the students on a camping trip. All was going well.
Dear Flophouse, I never thought your letters were real. But then something happened to me I had to tell you about.
I'm just a normal guy with a 3-foot penis.
I am a professor at a school for girls who are 18 or older, but look like they're 16.
All right.
Creepy, right? That's what I thought, until I had sex with all the girls.
All was going well, until they had to sit down.
I'm just a professor at Fuck Academy.
You can hold that to you. All was going well.
It's a university. No, it's spelled Academy. UH-cademy.
All was going well, until they had to sit down to eat the dinner they had cooked, and the camp leader said, quote, "Can all the girls please hop on the tarp now?" When they didn't immediately respond over the bullhorn, "Girls, get on the tarp straight away. I need all girls on the tarp. Thanks to my favorite podcast, all I could think about was Misty Monday and other tarp stars, and I could not
tarp stars.
I could not stifle my laughter."
Yeah, I was a star in the tarpies.
"I was asked why I was laughing by staff, students, and camp leaders, and I could not give an answer. But also,
you might have gotten in trouble.
But also could not stop laughing. So thanks to your pervasoidedness, I am now seen as a weirdo. Thanks for the laughter. It helped me get through some tough times. And quick question, what do you think of the 80s film The Last Dragon?" Great, isn't it? Matt, last name withheld. I don't remember it that well, but I remember being charmed by it.
I don't think
when
I've
I
ever
saw
seen
it when I was a kid.
I don't think I've seen it.
It's the sequel to Pete's Dragon, right?
No. Sort of a
where humans are hunting Elliot the Dragon.
No, it's sort of a comedic.
You've mixed Pete's Dragon and Dragonheart.
It's like a faux blaxploitation kung fu movie. But it's yeah.
But there's a cartoon dragon
in
it,
right? No, there's no cartoon dragon.
Where's the dragon come into it?
God damn it, there is no dragon, guys.
Is it like an Eastern mythology sort of thing?
Yeah, like a wisdom dragon?
Mm-hmm. Point is sex tarps. That's the point.
That's hilarious.
I like how many times people tell me they listen to the show and it has made them look crazy or stupid in a public setting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty much what we set out to do.
Yeah. We're just, this is an elaborate punking of all of our listeners.
Yeah, punking Brewster.
Mm-hmm.
Punky Brewster. Yeah, why didn't they ever do Punky Brewster's Millions, where I guess Punky Brewster died and left her money to somebody, but they have to spend it all?
She died under anesthesia when getting her boobs smallered.
She died. Too far, Stuart.
She died because she was locked in an old-fashioned refrigerator.
Oh, but the public service announcement told her not to do that.
So
I'm glad nobody made fun of me for using the term smallered.
So this is from Randolph, last name withheld. And he says,
Carter, I assume.
"Floppers, I recently discovered your podcast after Glenn Weldon recommended it on NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour."
Thanks, ooh. Glenn.
"It quickly became my favorite." Why would you do that?
It's totally disrespectful and unnecessary.
"You're such a friend to us. It quickly became my favorite podcast and all that I listened to over the holidays. I had to stop listening to your podcast while drinking beverages because I kept doing spit takes with eggnogs or mulled cider all over my wife.
Only the stickiest of beverages go into my mouth and then immediately out of it.
If there was some way I could liquefy a candy apple, I'd drink that.
Because I am a recent immigrant to Flophouse Land, I ended up binge listening to almost your entire back catalog this past month. That's a lot of episodes in a short period of time.
I think that
that's a lot of horses to train.
I can say with absolute certainty.
On the flop horse.
I enjoyed every minute of your podcast with one notable exception.
Uh-oh.
Elliot's horrific singing introductions to the Flophouse mailbag segments.
Hey, DWI, deal with it.
You may have seen that bumper sticker, which reads, "If you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing." Elliot has proven the second half of the edge to be a bald-faced lie. I'm sure Guantanamo guards could repurpose Elliot's singing. Editor's note, Dan, please make air quotes with your fingers when you say that word as part of their enhanced interrogation techniques. I found Elliot's singing so grating that after one episode, I decided to put out my eyes like Oedipus Rex.
Oh, no. Or Sam Neill in Event Horizon.
Then I remembered one's eyes have nothing to do with one's sense of hearing.
I was going to say, yeah.
And I continued to suffer through the mailbag introductions. As I would like to continue.
He gave himself a little bit of the punishment they're going to give in Princess Bride, where they cut off his eyes, then his nose, then his hands, but they leave the ears.
To the pain. Yeah. As I would like to continue listening to this podcast and not lose any more body parts, I'm sending Elliot a Groupon for $25 off a one-hour voice lesson at a vocal school in New York City so Elliot can, and I'm quoting from the Groupon description here, unfold your true potential in an extremely supportive environment. I fully expect that after this one lesson, Elliot's reedy, atonal stream of consciousness quasi-songs will transform into a beautifully crooned, thoughtfully crafted composition sung tenderly and in correct pitch with full diaphragm support and proper breathing techniques. Elliot, I love you, man. You're a funny dude. But time to hit the woodshed and work on those singing chops. Practice. For the love of God, please practice. Yours in music, Randolph, last name withheld. And here's your Groupon.
Wow, thank you, Randolph. I appreciate that.
Groupon.
And to think when I
saw... To paraphrase, you're great, but you suck.
Yeah, when I saw this thing, when I saw the paper for 1 hour vocal lesson... Behind the emails Dan was reading, I thought he had just accidentally printed out a Groupon he had bought for himself.
Yeah, to improve his karaoke.
Yeah. Well, I think I will take advantage of this. I know that I can't sing, and that's why I do sing. To show people that nothing is impossible.
Oh, chase your dreams?
Yeah. To dream the impossible song, to sing the thing that I am singing, to Dan and to Stuart and that cat over there. This thing is the Flophouse of stuff.
To singing.
I mean, I would say.
To singing.
I would also say, in Elliot's defense, I don't think he's trying that hard when he's singing the letter
song. I would say
song.
Not trying at all. I mean, from a singing point of view, there's zero trying.
I've heard Elliot sing better, I'm saying.
We record this at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of singing at the office during the day.
A lot of singing about the foods that we're eating in lunch in the lunch line.
And what meeting is starting.
You guys getting a lunch line?
Yeah, well, you got a little catered.
Do you have like a lunch lady that puts the slop tray?
No, it's barf from You Can't Do That on Television.
Oh, man.
Self-serve, but Elliot's like.
That's where he went.
There's a lot of like.
Does he serve Canadian food or?
No, it's regular food.
There's a lot of like, Elliot's like. Cauliflower, do I want it? Yeah, why not? I'll have some cauliflower.
I assume everyone's lives would be improved by my stream of consciousness, out loud decision making through song about what I'm going to eat that day.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's the 3:15 meeting, there's a lot of, hey everybody, what meeting is happening right now? At 3:15, it's the 3:15 meeting that's happening right now. That kind of stuff.
This is a peek behind the curtain, huh?
Yeah. There's a lot of singing that goes on at The Daily Show.
and dogs.
Yeah, the dogs sing too.
But for this last letter, let's say it's a repost to the previous.
Like a Perry?
Like a Perry, like a Steve Perry.
Yeah. It goes like this.
Oh, Sherry.
Hey there. Hey there, houseback of Flopstradame. I was listening to the latest episode of the Flophouse whilst trying to attach a hat and a skateboard to a stray cat and a pair of nerdy glasses to another when I started wondering why there was no attempt at remixing a male song. So as I have no work, I took it upon myself to lazily slap one together. You can find the result of 2 hours of my time here, and there's a link to the song.
2 hours, not well spent, sir, though I appreciate it. Not because it's what you did is bad. I haven't heard it yet, but because...
I mean, it's just, it's inherently a waste of time.
To do anything involving my singing is a waste of time.
But he says, I did see you had a competition for songs in the autumn, but unfortunately at the time I was not a member of the Flophouse audience, a.k.a. Flophouse Collective. Big up me, Flophouse Brethren. 2K15.
Big up me, brethren.
Still kicking it. Where are my boys at?
Wagwan, Flophouse.
Name pending approval. So I missed out on this contest. Still, I hope you can find it in your heart to give it a listen and maybe even play it on the show, as it's not very long because, again, I'm very lazy. Keep up the good work, everyone. And Stuart, the beer you drink is garbage. Thanks for the laugh. Baz, last name withheld.
Well, starting a fight right at the end.
So,
it's like you're leaving a party and you're like, great time. Thanks for inviting me. I loved it.
Baz is the name of a fellow in a tracksuit.
Punch somebody and then walks out. Baz? Baz is the director of like a Great Gatsby spectacular.
I think for
he still wears a tracksuit.
I think for our outro.
An image of Baz Luhrmann directing Australia while wearing like a tracksuit and gold chains.
Mm-hmm. For our outro for the show, I think I'm going to have to put on this song so we can all
spoiler
enjoy
alert.
I think you owe it to America.
I don't know if that's a spoiler so much.
I mean, I guess we'll hear it in a minute.
Thanks for putting the work into it, and thanks for listening. And thanks to everybody who wrote in and everybody listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, despite all the critiques of Elliot.
Yeah, I can take criticism.
Yeah. It's pretty even, though. Sure. It's like 1-4, 1-against.
That's true, yeah. We still need the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
The president pro tem
so
of
somebody
Flophouse.
Write in whether or not you love or totally hate Elliot.
And also, if you'd like to use the key on the lock.
Just write in.
Radio Zork continues.
But now.
What's the next part?
For the final and least popular segment of the Flophouse.
Okay, so
it's time for chest hair report. Everybody, we've shaved our chest hair as we do every episode into a different shape.
Uh-huh.
Let's reveal it now, and we'll see if we can figure out exactly what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Zip, unbutton.
Unbutton, 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 and zip and unbutton the other layer and zip the last layer.
As you can see, this is a carefully manicured dollar sign.
Very well done. Yeah, very nice.
Mine is sort of boring. It is just... a rhombus. A rhombus of chest.
Yeah. So, but the lines are very straight. That's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you guys can see, I've completely reproduced Surratt's Sunday in the Park.
It's amazing.
And in chest hair on my chest.
I don't know how you can do pointillism in chest hair, but you've
a lot of tweezing, my friend. A lot of tweezing.
Okay, so that's that segment. And now on to a much more popular segment, recommendations.
And I know the title of that painting is really like Sunday on the Grand Jatte or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the Grand Jatte is.
Sunday on Jabba the Hutt's Sail Barge by Surratt.
Everybody's inside. Nobody goes on the fucking roof deck. It's lovely out there, bro.
It's really beautiful out in the hot Tatooine sun.
Don't you want to see the herds of Bantha walking around?
They're out there having fun.
Sarlacc.
Get a whiff of Sarlacc.
The hot Tatooine sun. But no, this is recommendations. Movies that we watched that we actually liked. Stuart, what do you want to recommend?
So this Christmas, my wife got me a membership
this
to
Christmas. Believe in miracles again. Stuart's Tale, the movie.
Now, so, last Christmas, you played with my heart.
The very next day.
This Christmas, my wife was kind enough to give me a membership to Full Moon Streaming, which is the streaming service for Full Moon Productions, the production company that has brought you such great movies as Puppet Master, Retro Puppet Master, Doll Man vs. Demonic Toys, Puppet Master 2, Subspecies 2, Subspecies 1, etc.
You didn't mention any of the
Femalian?
Yes, Femalian 2 and Femalian 1.
Trancers and Trancer
Trancers,
Cop.
Trancer Cop, Trancers 2, Femalian.
Femalian versus Trancer Cop.
There's a couple other movies. I don't
Puppet
know.
Puppet Master is a Femalian.
It's kind of a, like, you may have heard of it. It's called Castle Freak.
Whoa.
Head of the Family.
So, I am a robot now for some reason.
I've transcended the sad human flesh.
Johnny Depp is like, I'm going to turn all of humanity into perfect beings. But first, let me catch up on Full Moon Entertainment's slate of titles.
So I recently watched something on there that that hasn't been available for a long time. It's a short film, so it's kind of a cheat. But it's Charles Band directed an adaptation of The Evil Clergyman, starring Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton. And it also has David Warner in it. And it's a great adaptation, and it manages to be kind of creepy and kind of sad. And it's just – it's fun to see – anytime to see more young Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton getting to act together.
Mm-hmm. And David Warner is a big get for a Full Moon
project. Yeah, it's like, huge.
He's great.
And it was part of a like an anthology movie. I can't remember what it was called. You can look it up. But
Stuart's recommendation. You do the work.
And I think the only way you can see it is by joining that streaming service. But it's I thought it was genuinely cool to get to watch.
I would like to recommend, and I may have recommended this before. I don't know.
Castle Freak.
Like I don't know. Look it up on the Flophouse recommends page. Maybe I forgot. I don't care.
Do some work for once in your life.
But we watched a science fiction movie that I did not like that involved Cillian Murphy. So I'm going to recommend a movie that I did like that's a sci-fi film with Cillian Murphy. And that's the movie Sunshine that had him.
Yeah, except for the end. It's awesome.
Chris Evans was in it. Now here, I'm also going to, like, I wanted to address this. A lot of people feel like, oh, this movie is great except for the end. Well, first off, it's a Danny Boyle movie. It's
first
about
off, Waltz.
It's about a world where the sun is dying, and so there's a mission. This is actually the second mission to attempt to try and go up and kickstart the sun by
collecting $20,000 in donations. But if they don't make that money, they don't get to keep the stuff right. The sun loses it all. Now, $50.
I
want to
see more of Veronica Mars, Elliot.
No, but we really need the sun. It's the source of all life.
But
all heat, all warmth, and
I don't
light.
Have as much nostalgia for the sun.
Okay.
I mean, you should. Now, for $50, you get a signed photo of the sun.
Okay.
For $20,000, you just fill the whole thing. You get an executive producer credit on the sun.
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
Yeah. No.
For $10,000, no. The sun will critique your light-producing effects.
Okay, so I can get some skills out of the deal.
Exactly. So, Sunshine?
No, they're going up there to blast a huge nuclear payload into the sun, and they've got, like, a big, like, sun shield, so, like, the closer they get to the sun...
So you don't get any splash damage?
Well, they don't get, like, burnt up by the huge sun
all
rays.
All crispy, yeah.
And everything. But,
I think somebody gets crispy in this movie, though.
Oh, they're super.
Super crispy.
Super crispy. Extra crispy.
But a lot of people, they're... I feel like...
crispy at all.
I feel like the conventional wisdom on this movie...
It's really burnt?
The conventional wisdom on this movie is what Stuart said, that people love
the final third,
and they don't like the last third. I actually also like the last third. Like, people complain that the last third turns into a slasher movie. What I like about
it—that's not my problem.
What I like about it is it turns into a slasher movie that is super trippy. That the movie talks about, like, you know, as they approach the sun. There's this, like, sort of, like, time distortion, like, there's this effect of, like, you know, like, the gravity of doing this thing is just warps reality. And I like how the movie also mirrors that. Like, the movie gets very trippy towards the end as, you know, they're running around trying to avoid this mysterious killer who comes in the last third. And
it's,
I like
Jason.
I like it all through the whole thing. Yes, Jason X.
I guess I just think that the rather than being, like, trippy and interesting, it just makes it hard for me to watch.
It gets very visually interesting and also visually hurts your eyes.
But you guys can watch it at home and tell us what you
think.
But
I like all the hurts your eyes stuff. So, yeah, it's up to you. It's up to you. We're not going to make decisions for you, Flop Nation.
No, choose your own adventure,
yeah.
Humans.
And use the key life. On the door. Are you going to use the key?
Write in and tell us. I'm sorry. The key did not work. You have 5 keys left. Do you use the next key or skip to the key after that?
Or do you want to pay $5 to get the right key right away?
Send that money to Stuart Wellington.
Microtransactions.
Make a micro loan. Is it my turn?
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to recommend a different kind of movie. I'm going to recommend an old movie.
A pornographic film.
That's what I do. Yeah, I'm going to recommend a porno film.
It's a movie I made with my brother and some animals.
Anyway, it's
found.
Called Nubile Teens Volume 3. I'm going to recommend a movie from 1947 called The Woman on the Beach, which is one of the few English language American movies that Jean Renoir made. Jean Renoir? I don't remember. Anyway.
Who the fuck?
I mean,
who the fuck cares?
So anyway, it's a movie that stars Robert Ryan and Joan Bennett and Charles Bickford, who's one of these actors who people don't really remember, but was nominated for multiple Academy Awards in his heyday, where Robert Ryan is a
the days when he made hay.
That's why on Hay Day every year we celebrate Charles Bickford by eating hay with dumb horses. But it's about Robert Ryan as a guy who's in the Navy, who's stationed in this one on this beach area, and he has a perfectly lovely fiance. It's a totally Betty and Veronica situation because he begins to become almost obsessively paranoid in love with this woman played by Joan Bennett that he meets on the beach one day. And she is married to a man who was once a great painter but has gone blind. And they're in a very toxic, codependent, torturing each other relationship. And their relationship is drawn in a pretty complicated way, especially for a 40s movie, in that they definitely hurt each other openly but kind of feed off each other. And they have an understanding with each other about how painful they're going to be to each other. But they're both trying to pull away from each other while they can't, and Robert Ryan becomes kind of trapped in the wake of this toxic relationship.
Is that what a Betty and Veronica relationship is like?
No, Betty and Veronica relationship is because there's a really nice down-to-earth blonde woman who wants to marry him, but he's stuck on this weirdo dark-haired girl that's not very nice.
Veronica is clearly the hotter.
Exactly,
one.
Dude.
They have the same face and body with different hair.
You settle for Veronica. Wait, which one's the dark hair?
Veronica is the hot one.
Which one is Moose dating?
Veronica money.
The only thing that makes her different is she's loaded in dough. But then you got to spend all your holidays with fucking Mr. Lodge. Come on, and his little mustache.
She's got that dark hair with the bangs.
Roger Lodge?
Big brown eyes.
Anyway, Robert Ryan becomes obsessed with the idea that Charles Bickford is faking his blindness and wants to try to disprove it. And it's a movie that was tampered with a lot by the studio, and so it's not totally satisfying. It's not a great movie, but it's a really interesting, good movie. And there's a scene, there's a dream sequence at the beginning that is so, like, where Robert Ryan has a nightmare where he's in a ship that explodes and he's sinking
to the
bottom.
'Cause it's too close to the sun?
Yeah. It's a sea ship. And there's a woman at the bottom of the ocean that is reaching for him, and it's so kind of primitively done special effects-wise that there's something beautiful about it. Like, it's almost like a Guy Madden type of thing in that scene, except not ironically or, like, reaching back to some past style. Like, that's just the way they were doing it. So it's a curious little movie that has a lot to recommend it, and it's interesting to watch, and it's, like, 70 minutes long. Like, it doesn't take a lot of time. So The Woman on the Beach, I'd recommend it.
Well, guys.
Nailed it. Out of the park.
Yeah, we've come
into some other park.
Can you go over to the defense of that park to get it?
Yep, into the sand lot.
No, it's the sun.
Well, I guess the only thing.
Wait, if we
left.
Get it into the sand lot, are we the big dog that eats baseballs?
Yep, and we're like, hey, kids.
Are we like James Earl Jones? He was the guy, right?
Yeah, he was
what?
The guy.
Yeah,
in the Sandlot.
Yeah,
really?
He owned that
angry
big dog.
Old guy.
I thought he was the guy who made the Field of Dreams.
He's both guys.
He's all over baseball.
James Earl Jones has a rich legacy with baseball in those
he's
two
Mr.
movies.
Mr. Baseball. Field of their,
Tom Selleck. Selleck was Mr. Baseball.
Was he in a Wait. Field of their own?
Is he
a Field of their own? That's a movie about a Potter's field.
That's Mr. 3000. That's Bernie Mac.
No, that's Bernie Mac.
That's where you pick a Lori Petty off the vine,
fresh off the tree.
Don't let that Gina Davis with those giant teeth eat it.
He's not Mr. Payback, because that was that weird robot dude.
I don't know what's happening.
That's
I've lost
Chappy.
Control.
Chappy. Yet again. Chappy Payback.
Well,
I don't know if Chappie's going to get paid back. The ad campaign's been really expensive.
For the Flophouse.
Chappie, the story of a chapstick that decides to take the law into its own hands.
I've been Dan McCoy.
Oh, I guess I've been Stuart Wellington then. Why not?
And I know I'm Elliot Kalin. I just know it and I can prove it. I can prove it. I'm him. I'm him. The man in there is an imposter.
Good night.
Chappie.
Rated R. Letters. We get letters. We get lots and lots of letters. Letter time. Let's read some letters and talk about them. Get in touch with the fans. What do they think? Let's read some letters tonight. Tonight's the night for letters. Let's get some letters and read them.
Okay.
Read them and weep with laughter. Letters.
Welcome to Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Ross.
Hi, Carrie.
What do you think is creepier?
Okay.
You jump into a swimming pool. All of a sudden, the water goes away, and instead of water, there is the bones of your dead ancestors.
Ew.
Or our show.
That's pretty tough because we've visited a live exorcism.
We joined the Ordo Templi Orientis where we had to worship a naked lady.
Oh, and we joined that Tony Alamo cult. No. They were scary.
Super creepy. We joined the Aetheri Society.
We tried penis enlargement, or at least I did.
Oh boy, I tried breast enlargement. We have basically done every creepy, weird, fringe thing except for thousands more, which we will get to if you listen to our show.
I'd still say the swimming pool with my ancestors' bones.
Well, then I don't even know if people should listen.
I guess they shouldn't.
But if you want to, we're at Maximum Fun, and the show's called Oh No, Ross and Carrie.